NBA Australia. How you going?
That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Australia's Friday, November 2. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to baby that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I am here in Chez Armour Beach Studios.
Down the coast, bro.
Just letting you know what's going on, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, mate. Just while repping Straya a little bit, it's just what we do. Alright, so today's show covers off a run of amazingly fun games today, including Rusty smashing Charlotte, Simo and Embiid crushing it, a really good Bucks-Celtics game. So we've got all that and the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife, that's a knife. Old man, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, we've got Yeah Nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled takes. And because it's Friday, we award our coveted dickhead of the week and add to the Luke Longley Hall of Fame. It's pretty good. We'll also preview and pick all NBA games for the entire NBA weekend, which is going to be awesome. And we'll finish off with the new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia episode 174. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better! Well, you could watch out for the Rusty attack today. What else could you watch out for? The Joel Embiid attack? Oh, geez, not bloody bad. All right, we start today's show the way we start every day, which is with the daily whip around right there. So look, a bit of news. J.R. Smith has kind of slightly asked for a trade, which is pretty neat. I mean, the Cavs are currently looking into whether or not they can trade him to China or not. Maybe get some Jimmer back. What do you reckon? That'll work out great. A bit of injury stuff. Donovan fucking Mitchell's out with a right hammy. A little bit of tightness there. Tell me about it. Won't play against Memphis this weekend, but also that might just be because no one wants to play against Memphis because they're shithouse. Other stuff today. No Jaylen Brown. He was out with a foot. Plenty of fasciitis sort of playing up for Jaylen. He might also be sitting there going, man, this fucking sucks. I don't get to play anymore. And no Anthony Davis today against the Blazers either with an elbow. And some other news that wasn't injury related was Jonah Bolden got called back up from the G League before even playing a game with the Delaware Bluecoats because they haven't started their season yet. But this is the old Chris McCullough situation with the Nets a couple of years ago where they recall your G League two-way guys for every home game. So even if they've played that day, keep them around the rest of the team, keep them all engaged, keep them a part of for all the learning purposes and stuff. So that just makes sense, I guess. On your Jota, keep your chin up there, pal. See, you can still get to play with the big boys. That's nice. All right, wraps for today. Friday, we had six games. We had the OKC Thunder winning in Charlotte. North Carolina 111-107. We picked OKC with this, and that was a win. 2.5, I think. We had Rusty versus Kemba. Ugh, it wasn't a great game to watch, but it stayed close, and Rusty and OKC got back up. They were down pretty heftily and then came all the way back and won it. Kemba had 21 points, Malik Monk 21 as well. Looking good is Malik. It's like every two or three games he has a pearler. The rest of the time he's a bit meh. Tony Parker had 17 as well. Man, he's so like crazily valuable for those dudes now, coming in and changing the pace every time Kemba comes off or take him a spell off the ball. It's pretty good. The weird part for the Hornets is really that they have four centers, three of which they took in the top nine picks of drafts, and none of them are good. Jesus. But I do like James Borrego, their coach. He's pretty good. They do some fun shit, so don't sleep on Charlotte. OKC, they get another win on the board. Handy. They needed it. A lot of that was thanks to Alex Abrines. He had a career-high 25 points, hit five threes. He was the only bloke on the Thunder who hit a three for most of the game. Dennis Schröder, I am German, Rondo. He had 21 off the bench. It was pretty good, but it was a pretty good night for Rusty as well. 29 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, almost triple-double. His shot looked good, playing a little bit within himself at the moment. Didn't take any threes. Good on you, Rusty. Not bloody bad. Poor George, though. Oh, geez. Talk about him later. So there you go. Russell and the Thunder. Get another one up there. 3-4 now on the season. Hornets dropped to 4-5. The Nuggets, they went into Cleveland on the world's easiest back-to-back against Chicago. And who was it, Stephen A. Smith? Who did they play?
Cleveland!
That's right, they played Cleveland. Even though the Cavs kind of got the jump on Denver here, which was, everyone like watching this was like, oh shit, Denver, what are y'all doing? But then they got in there, no problems in the moment. In the end, the thing was they got held to 15 points in the first quarter. And then they backed it up by holding the Cavs to 15 points in the second quarter. So, I mean, that's how you do it. It was all over from there. For the Cavs, I mean, who fucking cares, man? Jordan Clarkson had 17. Chetty had 13. The sex man, Colin Sexton, had 12. And the rest of this roster is just a fucking joke. I mean, Rodney Hood's a spud. JR wants to be traded. Tristan's like, man, everybody wants to fight me. Yeah, it's a rough one. No wonder Ty Lue is just like, yeah, I'll take the money and I'll see you guys later. Nice. For the Nugs, there's only one Hernan Gomez. He had 23 points today. That was awesome. Paul Thrillsap had a 16-6 the day after his game-winning buzzer beater there in Chicago. The Dartsman Gary Harris had a solid 14-3-3. And Trey, not Donovan Mitchell Lyles, had 12-8. But I'll tell you what, man. Nikola Jokic, hello, had a rough one. 4 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and a block. Not his usual triple-double line, but, you know, Denver didn't really need it because they smashed the bejesus out of Cleveland. Cavs are now 1-7, and on the flip side, the Nuggets are 7-1. Nice. Bit of symmetry for you. Clippers go to Philly and get handed a bit of a loss. 122-113 Philly win. This was a back and forth arm wrestle for a lot of it. Clippers came all the way back. They'd roar back and get ahead, and then Philly be like, oh, geez, we need to do some stuff, and then they did it. But I think we mentioned yesterday, Joel Embiid going against this crazy Clips three-headed center monster was going to be interesting, and it was, because he kicked the absolute shit out of Marcin Gortat and Montrezl Harrell. But then Boban Marjanovic came in and started doing Boban things and killed it. Boban had 15 points. Thing is, Embiid also beat the shit out of Boban, my best mate, so that was a tough one. So for the Clips, I mean, sweet Lou Williams had 26 off the bench. Daniil Gallinari, he had 25-8. Tobias had 24-8. And as mentioned, Boban with 15. But there's just not enough coming from everywhere else for the Clips. I mean, yeah, they scored 113, but Pat Bev and Avery Bradley sucked. They went 2 of 13 combined for 6 points and had 4 turnovers as well. Bev fouled out. Jesus, Clips. Come on, man. It's not good enough. For the Sixers, Joel Embiid, 41 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks. Crushed it. Went 3 of 8 from 3, and they're a different team when he's hitting a couple of long bombs, you know. Spreads out the floor a little bit. Meanwhile, Big Simo, he's back. Big bounce back game after 11 turnover game the other night. Big Simo had 14, 3, and 11. Oosh, nice. Markel Fultz, meanwhile, showing more and more and more. It's really good to see him with those sleepy ass eyes out there crushing. He had 12 points today. Looked great going to the bucket. Also had 9 rebounds as well. He's a very good rebounder for a guard. Chucked in 5 assists too, and he and Simo give them 2 very weirdly different point guard weapons, and it's, when it works, man. It's very good. JJ Redick at 18 as well, and Sixers are unbeaten at home. It's pretty good. Clips, they dropped to 4-4, and I mean, look, Clips, they're like weirdly kind of okay, but they're just also not good. It's weird. The Sixers are 5-4. They're just kind of up and down. It's a bit of an odd one, but you know, got to get these wins against the Clips on the board. That's how you do it. Sacramento go into Atlanta, and oh geez, Atlanta, it's a rough one. Ladies and gentlemen, though, your second hottest NBA team at the moment, the Sacramento Kings. They win 146-115 in Atlanta. They've won 5 straight, and they're in the playoff picture. Oh, I'm loving this. 6-3 are the Sacramento Kings now as well. That is un-bloody real, mate. So look, this was a weird one. They just got out and smashed them real hard early, and obviously just killed them in the end. Sacramento, man. They had 69 points, nice, in the first half. I mean, it's Atlanta, so what do you expect? Atlanta, Trae Young had 14 points on 13 shots. Oh, 1 from 3. I feel like he should be shooting more from long distance. 23 from Jeremy Lin, 14 for Baze Gaze. Taurean, the Red Bull Prince, had another shocker. Talk about him later. But for Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox loved it. His first career triple-double. Nice. 31 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds for De'Aaron. Amazing shooting as well. 9 of 13 from the field. 3 of 4 from 3. Looked unreal. Buddy Steph Curry Hill, though, kept it up as well. He had 27 points. Did our mate Buddy Steph Curry Hill. 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 of 7 from 3. That is un-bloody believable. Over his last 5 games, he's averaging 24 points a game. and shooting 50% from three. Yeah, that's pretty good. 19 for Belly Belitza and Big Willie Cauley Stein style at 12 and 6 with three blocks. And our mate Marvie Bagges got out there and smashed it too. He had 18 points and 5 rebounds. Did the Rook, the number 2 pick in the NBA draft from last year that everybody keeps forgetting about. Anyway, but Sacramento, man, they just absolutely beat the bejesus out of the Hawks. There's scoring everywhere. Oof, it's a tough one. So for Atlanta, look, they now drop 2-6, and the Sacramento Kings are 6-3. People didn't know if they were going to win 6 games all fucking year. That's awesome. Other games, whoa, what else we got? We got 2 more. Bucks at Boston. Boston win this 117-113. Greek Free came back from his concussion. We promised bangers versus Thon and Delly as well for the Australians. Thon and Delly did not get out there. And look, the Bucks, you were undefeated. You were 7-0. You go into Boston, and what are you doing? You didn't play Thon, who during the playoffs last year came out and kung fu kicked the fucking Celtics. And Delly, the world's best defensive point guard. What do you expect? Yeah, that's why you're no longer the undefeated Milwaukee Bucks. Jesus. So look, neither Thon Song or Delly played. And Coach Buds, that's a lesson to be learned. Just right there, mate. Just saying. But still, Boston shot literally better than they ever had in history and only won by 4 in this one. They beat their team record for made threes in a game. They beat in 3 quarters as well. They got to 20 after 3. Hit 24 threes overall. On 24 overall threes on 55 attempts. Jesus. So Ozzie Kyrie had 28. A lot of balanced scoring for Boston. 18 for Gordo. 12 for Tatum. What was there? Like 18 for Horford. He was knocking down threes as well. 10 for Ogilvy. 17 for Flask Dad Marcus Morris. And they crushed it. Their defense was kind of up and down though in the last quarter. They had it at times and kept letting Milwaukee get back in it. There's a Bledsoe steal that probably should have tied up this game as well in the last minute, but he missed his free throws. And for the Bucks, I mean, Giannis had 13, 11, and 3. He's always going to crush it. Middleton chipped in 16. Brogdon had 16 as well. Lopez was a spud. Johns Hansen was hitting threes. And Bledsoe got psyched out by Scary Terry there. He had 13 points on 3 of 9 shooting. Gross. Well, Terry didn't do too much either. So, flip sides of things. Terry had 7 points and 7 rebounds and 3 assists. But his shot's been off all year so far. 3 of 11 today. Rough. Anyway, good game. This was really cool. It was interesting to see Giannis prove that he can't quite do anything regardless. Needs his other guys to step up a little bit. Need a little bit more from Bledsoe and Middleton. Celtics move to 6-2. Bucks drop 1. They are now 7-1. Oh, geez. And then finally, Portland end up winning big 132-119 against New Orleans. But this was a lot closer than that final score would say. Blazers finally get some revenge for the Pels completely shitting on them last year in the first round of the playoffs. But there was no Anthony Davis, of course, in this. So Portland should have won it. And man, Pels gave them a scare. Close all the way until they clearly got very gassed in the fourth quarter. On a second half of a back-to-back as well, the Pelicans against they had a rough loss to the Warriors last night. And then they drop onto Portland today. So Pels, Julius Randle, 29 points in 26 minutes. He was on fire. The only one out there doing much of anything for the Pelicans for long stretches of the game. Turns out he's actually good at basketball. And just imagine if the Lakers had him there. Etwan Moore had 19 points. Probably could have done a little bit Etwan less at times as well. But, it wasn't too bad. Drew Holiday had 17 points and 10 assists. Mirotic, Helas, Nikola, 18 and 13. For Nikola. Pretty good. Nico Mirotic just needs the beard back. I don't know, but he's been very good since he shaved the beard. I just can't trust that face. For the Blazers, Dame at 26.6 assists, 20 and 9 for the Bosnian Bill. Yusuf Nurkic, hello. Pretty good game for Nurk. Also hit a 3, which was wild. Also pretty good games for Chief Aminu and Caleb Swanigan, their pick from last year. He had 6 points in his 15 minutes, also 6 rebounds. Looked pretty good. Hit a 3 as well. It was wilding out there. CJ McCollum, though, slow start to the year. He had 8 tonight, 2 of 8 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3. And look, 4 assists, but he just looks a little bit wonky, doesn't he? Anyway, Blazers win. They have now won 3 straight. They're 6-2. Pels, 4-4, lost 4 straight. That's a tough one, mate. It's a tough one. All right, you know what it's time for, though, now? It's the NBA Strayer approved performance of the night.
That's not that nice. That's a knife.
That is a knife, Joel Embiid. Ah, mate, you dunked on Boban Marjanovic, my best mate, all the way back to Eastern Europe, where he's now probably scaring more villages. That was an insane game, though, by Joel Embiid, though. 41 points, 13 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 blocks. What an amazing game. Holy shit. That was pretty good. Joel Embiid is now currently averaging 28.5 points a game, 11.9 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks a game. Jesus. So that was a hell of a game. He crushed it as well, and they really needed him to do it today as well, the Sixers. And he came out, dominated, looked really good both ends too. De'Aaron Fox, though, special mention, come on, man. He became the youngest player ever to post at least 30 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds in a single game. He was awesome. We'll mention him again later. What about old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, it's probably Eric Bledsoe. Still being made fun of in Boston there, isn't he? It's pretty great. I love this Terry Rozé, Eric Bledsoe kind of blood feud that's just come out of nowhere. I mean, blow dry Bledsoe out there. He's like, oh man, I've got this, and just turns in an absolute shocker today against Boston. And Scary Terry's like giving him guff on the sideline, you know, reenacting his horrible free throw shots. That was pretty great. So that's some old mate, no mates right there. What about Spud of the night, though?
Spud of the night.
Oh, Paul George. Jesus cripes, mate. 4 of 20 from the field goes Paul George today against Charlotte. 4 of 20. He went 0 of 10 from 3. I absolutely love a stat line like 0 of 10 from 3. It's like, oh, I've missed 8. You know what? I'm fucking due. And shoots more. It's like, nah, I've got this. Oh, fuck. Now I'm 0 of 9. Oh, geez. 0 of 10. Better stop now. That's great. But a couple of other spuds. It was a Spud Central Day. It was like a fucking veritable like spud farm. It's the old Danny Frawley farm just west of Ballarat. East of Ballarat. Rodney Hood, 1 of 9 from the field, 8 points. But he did throw in 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. But 1 of 9 from the field is pretty rough. 2 of 5 from the field for the Joker. As mentioned, he only had 4 points. But he also threw in 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. So not completely spuddy. But the one who really got me is a spud. I tell you what, Dario the homie Saric. Speaking of CJ McCollum's slow start to the year, how about Dario? Jeez, 5 points, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. He hit one that it seems like, oh, now he might be getting going. And then he just missed his next 3 and it was like, oh, Dario, mate, just what are you doing? And Taurine the Red Bull Prince had another shocker. He went 3 of 12, did Taurine the Red Bull Prince. Jesus, Taurine. Do you reckon you're pressing much? That was tough, mate. He had an absolute shocker the last 3 games. So, Taurine the Red Bull Prince is our spud of the week. Monday, he shot 1 of 11 against Philly. Tuesday, shot 3 of 12 against Cleveland. And then, today, shot 3 of 12 again against Sacramento. That is spud-worthy in the extreme. So, that is 7 of 35 for the week. Jesus. And for his 3-point shots, that is 3 for 18. Oh, jeez. Not great, Taurine Red Bull Prince. It's a tough one. Panting in the night, that probably just goes to Cleveland just for being shithouse and getting completely swept aside by the Nuggets. But also, Cody Zeller erased Dennis Schröder so bad. One of his shots, he's so bad erased him. That he almost got erased from history as well. Like, there was almost like one of those Back to the Future photos. Like, all the photos that Dennis Schröder ever appeared in just like faded very badly for like 1 second there. And then he came back and scored a bucket. But Dennis Schröder got blocked to hell by Cody Zeller. That was a bit of a pantsing. But Dennis Schröder, in true German fashion, rose from the canvas. Oh, geez, I don't like that. It's a bad allegory. Metaphor, there we go. Anyway, moving on. Let's get away from that one quickly. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. And you know who got picked after Lonzo Ball last year? Oh, it's only De'Aaron Fox. As mentioned, the youngest bloke ever with a line of 31, 15, and 10. LeBron and he are the only ones to do it before turning 21 in all of NBA history. That is unbelievable. He's also smashing Lonzo for the year as well. Lonzo's averaging a 10-point, 4.5 rebound, 4.5 assist year. And Diazza is at 17.5 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds while shooting 48%. Jesus. And obviously, we usually throw Trae Young in there as well in the better than Trae Young Lonzo ball. But De'Aaron Fox cleaned that up as well because he beat the piss out of Trae Young, who had his 14 points on 13 shots. So, you know, De'Aaron Fox might be the best player in the NBA right now. All right, who was our dickhead of the week, though?
Dickhead of the week!
This just goes down as like almost a, grandfather him in because he's Reggie Miller, and this is almost becoming the Reggie Miller Dickhead of the Week Award. Because Reggie Miller, one more time, I pointed this out on Twitter, follow NBA Australia, would you? Reggie Miller is our Dickhead of the Week for not correcting Kevin Harlan today during the Blazers game. Harlan was like, the Blazers are now 9-14 for the... Oh, that's a horrible Kevin Harlan voice. Jesus, he's much deeper. Now the Blazers are 9-14 for the game. That's Reggie Miller territory. Reggie then sat next to him and laughed. As opposed to pointing out to Kevin and the listening and watching public that the most threes that Reggie Miller ever hit in a game was 8. 8 is less than 9. And so Reggie has never shot 9 for 14 in a game. That's not Reggie Miller territory. Reggie Miller never got to that territory. So you can't call the territory Reggie Miller territory if he's never been there. So Reggie, look, you can't sit there and shit on today's players nonstop and then not give them props for being collectively better than you. You know? So as usual, fuck you, Reggie Miller. All right, we'll be back in a second with some yenas.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And number one, should JaVale McGee dress up as the Grinch every game now and also do his post-game interviews in them? Yeah, nah, yeah. How good was this? He had such a good game yesterday, it's ridiculous. Great Halloween costume. Everyone's like, wait, who was the guy who came in as the Grinch? He then proceeded to post a 16-point, 15-rebound, and 5-block game and then give his post-game interview in his Grinch costume again. I say just rock up to every fucking game as the Grinch now, JaVale McGee. That's awesome. Holy shit. Number two, are the OKC, so Oklahoma City jerseys. Remember the City Edition jerseys from Nike? Yeah, so Oklahoma City, their City jerseys. Are they the best OKC jerseys ever? Yeah, nah. Yeah. Have you seen these things? They look amazing. It's like a bit of the sort of blocky kind of Native American sort of etching. It looks great. It's all the very sort of bright New Mexico, OKC, Texas kind of colors. You know, that sort of weird deep teal aqua kind of stuff. And it's awesome. They look great. They kind of look like those very now awesome throwback all-star jerseys from the mid-90s, which were sick. I love it. So, yeah, I love those OKC jerseys, considering that most of the time those OKC jerseys are shithouse. Next one. Should J.R. Smith be fined for wanting to be traded? Yeah, nah. No fucking way. If you were in fucking Cleveland, you'd want to be traded as well, mate. Like, come on. Let's all just take a bit of a step back here. And to be fair, I think I put it out on Twitter as well. It's not exactly as though he said, I want to be traded. Woj reported, JR was asked, are you hoping for a trade? He responded, yeah. My point is, he didn't say anything about the trade being of him. He could have been like, man, I fucking hate Tristan Thompson. I'm hoping for a trade. I reckon, yeah, come on, NBA. Just like, be cool. Just be cool. Come on, just chill. JR doesn't want to be in Cleveland. No one wants to be in fucking Cleveland. Next one up. De'Aaron Fox, is he just straight up better than Lonzo Ball? I mean, we've already mentioned this, so yeah, nah, yes. Because of him, we're going to double up on this, and because of him, is the Sacramento Kings' future far brighter than we ever expected this year? Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, everybody slept on him as being like one of those amazing second-year breakout guys, and now he is smashing it. He's an absolute blur. He can kind of do everything. The problem is he just needs to keep up the kind of torrid shooting streak. it's one of the things that's kind of let him down in the past, where it's sort of he can get hot for a couple of games and then it sort of falls off a cliff. So come on, man, let's just keep it up. And then final one, look, it's a couple of weeks into the season. Let's talk some MVP race. What do you reckon? I got asked this the other day, is LeBron leading the MVP race? And I responded, yeah, no, he's not. Come on, man, Steph. Holy shit, Steph's number one. Let's rank him, top five. Steph, he's absolutely crushing it. He's leading the league in scoring. The Warriors look amazing. He's just put up, you know, a signature game already. He's absolutely smashing it. Number two, it might actually be LeBron. Like, sneakily, he's been really good. The Lakers are kind of shit, though, so I might switch LeBron down to number three and put Giannis Antetokounmpo in there at number two, because he is killing. I love watching Giannis this year. There's literally nothing he can't do on the court. His three-point shooting's off. Yeah, I get it, but at the same time, still good. Number four, I challenge you to find anyone who's done more for their team than Kemba Walker. Jeez, he's overlooked. And I've got him ahead of number five, Kawhi Leonard, who is just, it's like he's barely missed. Well, to be fair for Kawhi, he's not actually playing every game, so it seems a little bit unfair, but still. So there you go, Steph, LeBron, or switch him with Giannis. So Steph, Giannis, LeBron, Kemba, and Kawhi, and 1,267th, I would have Lonzo Ball. Just saying. All right, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day. Oh, Jesus.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. And look, the whole D-Rose thing yesterday, he scored 50 points. It was awesome. And people then got antsy at people like bringing up the whole sexual assault allegations. And look, I think the way we talk about basketball should always include extraneous details and try to get the whole picture of what's going on in the NBA for teams, for individual players. So anyone complaining about the whole rapey Rose thing that got brought up, I mean, you're fucking deluding yourselves. The entire story of D-Rose is, yes, it's nice that he scored 50. Yes, it has been a struggle to come back from injury and, you know, being in wrong situations basketball-wise. And yes, he also then got accused of sexual assault and, like, gang raping a chick and drugging her. So I think it's entirely warranted that gets brought up literally every fucking time you want to talk about D-Rose, because the same goes for fucking Kobe and any other fuckwit sexual assaulter. And it's like, oh, but it should just be about sports, man. No, it's just sports. Yeah, nah, context matters, motherfucker. And a lot of the shit that D-Rose has had to deal with that we're all, like, you know, dancing around, apparently, stems from the fact that he probably had non-consensual sex with someone who was incapacitated. So, fuckwits right there. And this is the thing. So, look, you have to, like, appreciate the idea that you can celebrate a shitty person's achievements without ignoring their shitty personality and their entire horrible vibe. Come on. Let's all be fucking adults. All right, let's get on to Outback Takehouse. And it's Friday. TGIF. Am I right? At Outback. That means 5-for-1 shitty Foster's oil drum can beers. No one in Australia drinks it, so I've got a fuck ton of it. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is, with all the talk of freedom of movement on the court, Michael Jordan would have averaged 42 points a game without breaking a sweat, and probably would have played 25 years with all the improvements in health and player comfort, and probably would have won 8 straight titles as well. But I think we're all overlooking the simple fact that with all the freedom of movement on the NBA court, Andrew Gaze, the Grey Mamba, would have been the contender that MJ never really had. Bring him back. Gazy versus MJ. Only at Outback. Ah, the Grey Mamba. I love it. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch. And what else we got? The Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Fame and stuff. Should be good. All right, let's talk after these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. As mentioned, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, the Clips today. 14 points, 3 rebounds and 11 assists. A very good game. Looked much more in control. Was really good out there as well. There's a couple of nifty sort of back cuts. He and Embiid, man, they look good together. Jonah Bolden, as mentioned at the top, got assigned to the Sixers G League team, the Delaware Bluecoats, and then got recalled. He does have, well, the G League team do have back-to-back games this weekend, however, so I'd be curious to see if Jonah does get sent back down. But yeah, this happens all the time, so don't get too concerned about it. It's like, you know, if you're in the last, 4 or 5 spots on the roster, you're not going to get too much run, so why not go play in the G League, get your confidence up and, you know, get the system, figure it out, learn some stuff, get up to speed. And then they're very smartly keeping him around the team, which you need to do to keep up their confidence. And yeah, it's good. Still playing with the big kids. Don't worry about it, Jonah. Paddy Thrills Mills, he takes on the Suns tomorrow. Aaron Bangers Baines played today against the Bucks. He had 16 minutes. Ended up with 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 of 5 from the field, 1 of 5, all of which were from 3. Bangers triple watch then with that 1 of 5 performance today, 5 of 15 for the year. Go check out the video, the one we put up. Jingles and Kangaroo Kobe didn't play today. They do have, I believe, only one game on the weekend. Oh no, they've got Memphis and Denver. I think it's Sunday and Monday our time. Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, he's got the Knicks tomorrow. And as I mentioned at the top, King Dally of Maribor, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, and Kung Fu Thon McCur. Thon. Both got did not play coach's decisions. That's a tough one. That's the, I believe, third for Thon, and I think probably the third for Dally as well. So rough as guts. Extra Aussies to keep an eye on. With the G League kicking off, we've got Dengendal, Mitchie Creek. We'll keep an eye out for Isaac Humphries as well. And you know what? Oh, it's Friday, so let's get stuck into a Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Famer. Oh, this is going to be good. I was like, oh man, what about Glenn Rice? I want to talk about Glenn Rice. He was rad. He scored like 26 points a game when he was in Charlotte. He was awesome in Miami as well. And then I'm like, cool. Yeah, he was on that Lakers first title, right, in 2000. And then I remembered, oh no, Glenn Rice fucking hated it. He wanted to be a superstar and thought he was fucking better than Kobe and Shaq. So that's the exact opposite of a Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Famer for role players who just don't do their bloody job. So instead, we go back a little bit further to Carl Herrera. Ah, one of my favorite players. You never didn't get a Carl Herrera card in a mid-90s pack of Fleer or Tops. Dude was also the perfect backup power forward in the 90s. He'd throw elbows, get amongst it at the drop of a hat. He also had some of the craziest eyes you ever saw, and you knew needed that in a power forward in the 90s, because, like, you need someone no motherfucker wants to fuck with, you know? And Carl Herrera was exactly that. He's, you know, numbers wouldn't blow you away, but you needed a big body to get there, get a couple of junk points and some nice, handy, tough man rebounds. Carl Herrera was your man. Love me some Carl Herrera. So there you go, Carl Herrera. You're now a part of our Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Fame. All right, we'll be back in a sec. The Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board and all of the game previews for this entire bloody weekend right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut and you are listening to NBA Straya.
Yes, it's back. It's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. And we got one yesterday from Patty. After D-Rose's 50-point career-high game, Patty Mills tweeted out, "Wow, at D-Rose, much respect, brother. Heart of a champion, !" And look, it's clear that all the other players really respect the heart of D-Rose. And I get it. Dude was awesome. It's very emotional. And also a lot of other stuff to add to the story. It's rough. All right, let's get to the
game previews. Game previews
for the entire weekend. We've got 8 games Saturday and 8 games Sunday. And we'll quickly mention all the games on Monday that we'll be whipping through. That's what we're going to do. So Saturday, Clippers at Magic. Gross. What is this? A Tobias Harris revenge game though? Oh, geez. Clippers. Man, it's going to be a rough one for their road trip. So they go from Philly, they go down to Orlando. They don't get to go to Disneyland or Disney World down there. Check out Universal Studios, Harry Potter World. It's wild down there. I will take the Orlando Magic in this one. Let's quickly live do the odds as well. Like we did yesterday. I think we ended up, 6 games today? I think we went 4 of 6 on our hits. That was pretty good. So let's check the odds. All right, Clippers at Magic. Clippers are 2-point favorites on the road. I'll take the Magic at home, +2. Yeah, that's good. Give me that one. Rockets at Nets. Oh, James Harden is out for this. So the Nets will probably never have a better chance to knock off the Rockets. You know, the very, very scarily not very good Rockets at the moment as well. What do you reckon? Will there be like 100 combined threes in this game? I've got a feeling they could be very close to that amount. So the Nets, they're 3-5. They got that win against the Pistons yesterday. The Rockets currently 1-5 and reeling. They don't get James Harden back. They do get James Ennis back for this, though. The other James. Love a good James. Rockets at Nets, though. Oh, the Rockets are still very good. The Nets, underdog. 3-point underdogs at home. You know what? I'll take that. Nets plus 3. They can always hang. It's weird. They might get blown out, but at the same time, I'll take the plus 3. Sure. Just makes sense. Next up, we've got OKC at the Wizards. Oh, it's the Scotty Brooks Bowl. It's like, hey, how bad's our coach? I don't know. This guy's pretty bad as well. Scott Brooks and like fucking Billy Donovan walk out there, do the, you know, verbal meme, Spider-Man pointing at each other. It's like, who's a bad coach? Hang on a second. Rusty might just punch on with both of them. OKC should win this. Wiz are an absolute rabble. Thunder are 2.5 point underdogs. I'll take that. Plus 2.5. I'll take that at the Thunder. They will be on a back-to-back, but I think they're just better than the Wiz. Just flat out. Pacers at Chicago. Victor Oladipo versus Zachy LaVine. Pacers is 7-point favorites. I'll take that as well. Chicago just... oh. They're a joke. Indy, they've been weirdly up and down though this year. I don't know, but I'll take that. Knicks at Mavs. Ryan Rowdy broke off at home hosting the Knicks. Knicks, oh, plus 6. No, they're horrible. Mavs need a win. They've lost 4 straight, I believe. And they need to get back on the board. 5 straight, actually, for Dallas. Jesus. Rough as guts. Luka, get out there and smash him, mate. Maybe get Ryan Rowdy broke off out there as well. Mavs don't win if he's not out there. Give me the Mavs at the minus 6. I think they'll win that. Memphis at Utah. Oh, geez. No Donovan Mitchell for this one. So the Grizz, 8.5 point underdogs versus a Jazz team who mightily struggled yesterday against a Minnesota team that was without Jimmy Butts and gave up 50 points to Derrick Rose. But this might be the bounce back game. Give me the bounce back game. I will take the Grizzlies at plus 8.5. because I think it'll be a little bit closer than we expect. I think Utah win, though. It's going to be interesting to see how they go without Donovan fucking Mitchell and how they score. So keep an eye on this one. And make sure, you know, give you a bit of food for thought on the Jazz side of things. Toronto at Phoenix. Raptors will have a laugh in the desert. Raptors minus 8.5 points. I'll take that. Toronto is smashing it. Minnesota at Golden State. Whoa. It's a bit tricky. Jimmy Butts will be back for this one. And watch him try to score 50 after D-Rose did it. you got big KAT as well, who always goes pretty well against Golden State. So that'll be pretty interesting. But Golden State, 11-point favorites. I might take the Oh, no. Golden State will kill them, won't they? Yeah, give me Golden State minus 11. Sunday, Pistons at Sixers. We've got big Simo and Embiid versus Blake and Drummond again, which should be very fun. I love that Embiid and Andre Drummond hate each other and want to yam on each other every... opportunity. Obviously, we don't have odds for the Sunday games, but so we'll just do picks. Give me the Sixers at home. Cleveland at Charlotte. Hornets need this one badly. And this might be the one where Kemba gets 60. I think we'll talk about that in the Hornets-Chicago game that ended up being much closer than anyone expected. But Charlotte definitely need to keep up this, you know, what are they, 4-5? They won against Chicago the other day. They need to beat the crap teams like Cleveland. So give me Charlotte at home. Boston and Indy, this might be the best game of the day. It's going to be very good to see where Boston are after their Milwaukee win today and where Indy are at just in general. Indy will be on a back-to-back, but they will be at home, and they only traveled home from Chicago, so not very far. I think I might take Indy at home there. Miami and Atlanta, Southeast, what is it? Division represent Miami. 2 straight lost, Atlanta 4. Someone's going to get one. I reckon D-Wade will crush it in this one. I mean, who's guarding him for Atlanta? Bazemore? He's going to love that. So give me Miami and Atlanta. Houston, but Miami and Atlanta. Ah, no, they're already down with like going to the clubs and whatever. They're from Miami. They're not going to go to Atlanta and go, oh, this is much better. Give me Miami. Houston to Chicago. Keep an eye out for Harden in this one. He might be a goer. And if he doesn't, it probably shouldn't matter. The Rockets should probably still smash the Bulls. But they will be on a back-to-back after playing the Nets the night before. You know, Chicago, Brooklyn might be a sneaky... Could Houston feasibly be 1-7 after this weekend. I don't think so. I think they win one of those two. So I reckon they'll beat the piss out of Chicago and probably the Nets as well. Pelicans at Spurs. Fascinating if AD comes back to see how their inside-out game goes against the mid-rangers of San Antonio. Pelicans, I think they're just going to be a little bit worn out. They've had a back-to-back, and then they've got this game against the Spurs. Give me the Spurs, well-rested. I think they'll scheme for them and kick their ass. Jazz at Denver. Oh, this is good. Denver, we've got Nikola Jokic versus I am Rudy Gobert, the Stafford Tower. First time of the year, this should be a corker, especially if Donovan Mitchell's good to go. See how his hammy goes, or his calf, whatever it was. Jazz at Denver, I will take the Denver Nuggets. Jazz are on a back-to-back, just seems safe. Even though Jingler and Dante Exum might crush him. What else we got? Last one for Sunday, Lakers at Portland. Dame, what do you reckon? Keeping an eye out for on this one to see how his dudes are meshing with LeBron. See who he can't get traded for. Lakers at Portland. Give me Portland. I think Portland will step up and be massive for this one. And Lakers, just looking a bit wonky at the moment. 3-5. But I mean, if Portland are going to crap the bed against someone, it's probably going to be the Lakers. And Monday's games that we'll be covering. There's 7 on Monday. Kings at Bucks. Bucks finally Leicester game. Knicks can't. Kings can't lose. It's the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. Should be good. Philly at Brooklyn, also good. Simone and Embiid in NYC. They'll have a, they probably won't have a big night there because they've got a Sunday game against the Sixers at home, but it's only an hour on the train up from Philly to New York. Anyway, it should be good. Embiid going up against the Fro should be good. And I can't see really anyone slowing down Simo on Brooklyn. What is it? D'Angelo Russell? D'Angelo! Not going to happen. Yeah. Probably reckon Philly win that. I reckon Bucks win at home. Philly win at home. Knicks at Wizards. Is this the one game that the Wiz can win like for the next couple of weeks? Probably. Hardaway, though, might have 60 against the Wiz. I think the Wizards finally get one. Wiz beat the Knicks. Magic at Spurs. Yeah, the Spurs will win that too. Memphis at Suns. Oh, gross. Triple J. Jaren Jackson Jr. versus DeAndre Ayton, though. That should be fun. Give me the Suns at home, I think. Mini at Blazers, Cat and Butts versus Dame and CJ should be good. I think the T-Wolves will win that. Blazers will be a bit worn down from the Lakers game the day before. And Raptors at Lakers, Kawhi versus LeBron. How good's this? But it might not be. Wait, Toronto play on the Saturday. So Kawhi's not playing back-to-back just to keep his body fresh. So we'll see if Kawhi plays in this. It's not a back-to-back, so I don't know. Maybe they'll keep him out. Maybe they won't even travel him there. So they don't. So he doesn't get to see the taste of that LA life with LeBron. What do you reckon? Just saying. Be sneaky smart though. And you know what? Wow, that's a lot of games for the weekend. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for Monday to wrap it all up for you. And that's what we'll do. We'll be back on Monday with more ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you follow NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Insta, all over the weekend. We'll be watching all the games and still tweeting and shit. Should be awesome. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, whoever you listen to it, whatever app you use, whatever. Just chuck us a rating and review. Come on. Tell a mate as well. Huge thanks to House Hats. I've Been Broken. Their song plays behind Yena every day, and it's an absolute pearl. Their old band from Oslo give us the intro and outro music. They're awesome. So go check out House Hats. I've Been Broken. Thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it. Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Oh, it's awesome. All right. We'll catch us on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, horse. All right, and welcome to the show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch on Twitter, snowflakes from Twitter. And look, just because of all these latte drinking, left-wing SJW snowflakes everywhere, someone has to be also out here telling it like it is, mate. Like, that's just what I do. Like, it's I'll be talking about betting commercials, Sydney traffic, Australian media, chasing people through the, like, airport and shit. And if you don't like my opinions, mate, you can go get stuffed and not watch a Sydney Kings game, because fuck you, bro. So let's get to the Twitter's internet and slam some Twitter's snowflakes. Okay, so, oh, this is one of my favorites, mate. So I got asked a question about like Cricket Australia, and my buddy Olgan, he tweeted out the article, and he's like, Andrew Bogut was asked about the recent review of the organizational culture at Cricket Australia. And this dickhead, Charles Forsky, says, I'm shocked, said no one ever. Oh, fuck you, Charles Forsky. What the... Apologies for answering a question asked by a reporter. In future, I will advise I can't answer anything that does not involve a basketball. This includes a simple, how are you? Oh my God, what a fuck with me. So, oh my God, tell me about, oh, tell you, this really gets my goat, bro. So, I'm gonna just send out a tweet. I'm gonna write this one myself. Question, how do you think you play? Answer, yeah, mate, all good. Did it for the boys. Yeah, good, good, yeah, good. And then well, someone comes in and goes, athletes are so media trained and boring. Question, what do you think about the weather? Answer, it's been good. We all love sun. Oh, shut up. Don't tell us what we like. It makes me just cry emoji, cry laugh emoji, cry laugh emoji. Oh my God, mate. It's like they want to hear us talk, but then they also don't. Oh, this guy, Klaus Bremer, he's very funny. He comes in and says, all the credit for the weather should go to my teammates. That really put me in a good position to enjoy the sun. That's good. I'm going to retweet that. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, pour down emoji. Oh, that's just brilliant, mate. Klaus Bremer is funny as hell, mate. What else we got? Oh my God. So this is a great one. So there's this guy. He comes jumping in off the top rope, mate. So when I'm I tweet out this thing about a true mark of a good teammate and should be just genuine joy when someone else does a better thing than you, mate. And then this dipshit jumps in and says, oh, but somehow you couldn't play in game 7 for 2016. And then 2 months later was playing in life for Australia. 2 weeks later, is your mask as bad as your grandma, or are your glasses the wrong prescription, you dickhead? Nice one, Bogey. Smashed it. Oh, and then this one, my mate Chris Ansey jumped me in here. Oh, Macquarie Sports Radio, they put a list together about the five best like NBA or basketball players. And like, Lauren Jackson was number one, then Sumo, and then me. And Longley and Ansey were after it, mate. And then these guys, they jump in. Alex Emery just pops in and he just says like some dumb shit about... I think that there's an argument. I just think that Luke and Andrew had a 7'2" advantage. Paddy has walked his way in the genuine six-man role and a constant contender. Undervalued by Aussies, in my opinion. Oh, settle down, mate. That's heightest, mate. That's a good one, Bogey. Oh, this guy replied to me. He says, lol, sorry, I'm in no offense. I only mean to admire Patrick, not bring you down in any way. Oh, I think this guy's being genuine. Joking. Thumbs up on your Bogey. Oh, that's a pretty nice one. You know, he's not being an absolute dickhead, eh? Oh, how good is this guy? What a dipshit. He comes in, oh, that prescription about like the maths joke that I made. Oh my God. Stefano says, what's a prescription, mate? Oh, fuck you, dickhead. Ah, and he surely couldn't be a mistype, you fuckhead. Oh, Jesus. Oh, and then this guy, Stefano, jumps back in as well. In a tweet about grammar, it's pretty unfortunate. Oh, fuck you, Stefano. You say reading the Communist Manifesto is your thing. Enough said, you fucking idiot. That's funny, mate. Oh, and then this other fuck. Oh, my God, it's just a bunch of fuckwits this week. Kieran, I don't know how to fucking say that name, bro. He says, ah, yes, Bogut the capitalist. Ah, yes, from a family that migrated from communism, actually. I'll predict your answer. Yeah, but that wasn't the right communist, FOH. That means fuck out of here for all you dickheads out there. Oh my God. All right. Anyway, that is all we've got time for this week. There's a couple of other ones that came in late about like some haircuts from 2003 when Rob Beveridge and Bogey, myself, were out there trying to win the under 19 FIBAs and shit. We're pretty funny. So we should have a whole bunch for next week. All right. Until then, I'll talk to you next week on NBA Australia. This has been Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.